But we begin with a 21st century investigation of the real-world effects of digital data. Behind every Google search, every saved photograph, streamed song, text message, and each click of the email send button is served and stored on a digital infrastructure that is, to the end user, mostly invisible. The New York Times has spent a year investigating the tens of thousands of data centers that support the information industry and discovered a secretive, power-intensive infrastructure sharply at odds with its sleek, environmentally friendly image. James Glanz is investigative reporter for the New York Times. He also holds a PhD in physics from Princeton, which must have been of great help in heading this investigation. And he joins us from New York. James, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks. Yeah, it didn't hurt.
Yeah, no kidding. So what does one of these typical data centers look like? Would we know one if we saw it?
They're sort of hiding in plain sight. It's a strange thing when I started looking at this. It's an industry we all now rely on. But it's a very shy one, and you'll be driving down the road, and you might see something that looks like a boxy warehouse with no windows. Sometimes you'll notice there's some diesel generators sitting outside with little smokestacks. That's a data center.
Mm.
And sometimes they're sort of secreted away in high-rises and other spots, but you know, often you just don't notice that they're there.
Well, shy is one word for it. You did find some companies quite secretive about locations and environmental violations. So how did you uncover this information?
One thing you couldn't do in this story is rely on your browser because that they're sort of invisible in their own medium. And so what I had to do was use old shoe leather reporting, go out into muddy fields and industrial parks and ask government agencies for paperwork on those generators and things like that. It was pretty much old-fashioned reporting.
Mm. Some really shocking statistics that you came up with in the report, including an independent analysis. This is by a Stanford research fellow estimating that 2% of all electricity in the U.S. is going to data centers. That's 30 billion watts. Can you help us envision what 30 billion watts looks like?
Right. Right, 30 billion watts is actually the worldwide value. In the United States, it's about a third to a quarter of that is concentrated here. But a nuclear power plant puts out about a billion watts, so you're talking about quite a lot of electricity. And an interesting thing about data centers, we may get to this, but once they turn the computers on in the data center, they really never turn them off. So that's a constant load. It's on all the time, and it's drawing energy day and night.
So that is also, it sounds wasteful. I mean, isn't it kind of like letting your car idle?
It is. The main issue, I think one of the main issues we came across in doing this is that the industry has just gotten in this habit of always having the computers at the ready in case there's an unexpected surge because of sort of historical reasons. In the early days, operating systems weren't as good, and people found that if you turned off a computer, it might not come back on. That's no longer true, but this industry just developed this habit of constantly having these things running, whether they're actually doing anything or not.
So what does that mean in terms of efficiency and pollution? That was the other thing that was uncovered in this investigation, a great deal of pollution.
Mm-hmm. On the efficiency side, it means that for a typical data center, and remember, there is a range of practices out there. So there are some companies that have adopted available technologies to reduce this waste, but for the most part, they have not. And what it means is that the useful computing that those computers are doing inside the data center, that computing is drawing usually around 10%, sometimes far less than that, of the energy that the data center is burning. The rest of it is essentially waste. On the pollution side, you know, there's two ways in which data centers pollute. One is that since they're drawing so much energy from the grid, so if it's coal-powered energy, then they're burning coal. If it's nuclear, it's nuclear. Other places, it's hydropower. The what else you might be referring to is these generators that they have on site. They have banks of batteries and generators in case there is an interruption of power from the grid, mm-hmm. like a blackout. And then they run these generators. They're always there. They're huge. And but they also have to test the generators. And so the diesel fumes from those generators is a source of pollution from the data centers.
So these are redundancies to make sure that things still work, even if there's a power failure. And that leads to the question of, isn't this just the cost of doing business? I mean, we, the users, have expectations of fast, anywhere access to our driving maps, our emails, our text messages. What role do we play in this expectation and this waste?
We're driving the whole thing. frankly. There are two sides of the coin here. One is the data center operators could be doing a much better job in terms of how they deal with that demand. But ultimately, what drives it is that we've become used to having 24/7 access to all these services with no delays, no limits in capacity. And so since a business knows that a user is going to become immediately irate, if the user can't search at 2 a.m. for a nearby place to buy cheap sunglasses or whatever it is, they're paranoid about that, and they're fearful of ever having an outage.
And not to mention the cost of disruption for I can't imagine how much revenue Amazon generates in even an hour.
That is an issue for some businesses. I didn't put figures in, but you take Amazon or eBay or something like that. It's incredible how much money sort of passes through those data centers, at least figuratively, in very short periods of time. And so that's a huge business consideration for them.
Well, James Glantz, is it plausible then that we as consumers may one day be asked to go through our old emails and photos and baby videos and clean up our own digital junkyard in the same way that we might be asked to, say, cut back on watering our lawn during a drought or electricity during a brownout?
Yeah, I think that's a great observation. I think the trouble right now is that there's a sort of a, I don't know exactly what to call it. Let's call it ignorance of convenience. On the consumer side, we really haven't wanted to think about that. And then on the side of the people providing these services, they haven't really wanted us to think about it either.
Yeah.
Because it's an uncomfortable subject. But I think that by raising this question, I hope that companies and consumers will start to think about, well, what does this all mean? And is it true I can't keep this forever? And if I need to eliminate something, what should I eliminate and what impact would it have? We don't have that information yet.
Well, you really did peel back the curtain on that. And there's been some pushback because of that. Some people have said, the economic benefit of the Internet far outweighs the cost of storing data. What is your response to that?
There's a lot of hand-waving there. An industry is always going to become defensive when an expose is written about it. So I think they're sorting that out. If you read, and I haven't spent a lot of time doing it, but if you read the reactions, they're really all over the map. You get some people who just sort of knee-jerk, are unhappy, and then others are sort of like, well, he may have a point here. So I think they're figuring out how they should best react. But, most of the responsible organizations, the Green Grid is one of the organizations that sort of oversees the industry, and they've put out a statement saying that they welcome the attention that the piece has brought, because I think nobody's found anything technically wrong with them, and you just have a natural industry sort of reaction of initial denial in some cases.
Quickly, James, before we close, I'm just wondering, now when you hit the Google search button, are you thinking about this?
I am, yeah, and I get kidded about it a lot, too. somebody wrote in, a reader, boy, if you're so concerned about this, why did you write such a long article? It's got to be on a server somewhere.
Well, James Glantz, thank you so much. It's a very revealing article indeed.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
James Glantz, an investigative reporter from the New York Times. And you'll find a link to the series that he really led on the environmental and real-world costs of big data. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. We'd love to know what you think as well. Should we be made more aware of our digital footprint and the physical mark that it leaves? Would that change your behavior? Do we expect too much of digital services, or is data storage all just part of the new economy and the process? Leave a comment on our Facebook page or send us a tweet.